In John's poetic song story, there is hardly anything about the birth of Jesus himself. Instead, John chose to focus on the difference that this birth makes for all of us. We hear the story of Jesus as God's love song, singing life into the world's babble and rumble. Jesus is often referred to as the Word. The Word is not something written or printed, but said and experienced. It is spoken from the beginning of creation, and the first lines have a familiar echo back to the first lines of Genesis creation story. Jesus is God's eternal speech, which became flesh and dwelt among us, coming to be fully a part of our world in which you and I live. God dwells among us and empowers us to be. This embodiment matters and has changed our world forever. God's eternal expression of love was articulated with our world and within human history. Jesus is God's sermon preached to us in the living out of human life in a particular season. This Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. God says, "This is who I am." This Word is God coming to earth as a human being to help us see, hear, touch, taste, and experience God. This God heals, forgives, embraces outcasts, prays for those who hurt him, and understands betrayal, denial, suffering, pain, humiliation, and death. This God knows that we need a Savior and brings us victory over despair, defeat, destruction, and death. Jesus, as the Word, speaks God's power into our lives, powers to create, power over all creation, power to restore us to what God wants us to be and gives us life everlasting. God brings hope, joy, grace, truth, life, and light to our world. As God's speech, Jesus is able to do what he wishes. And what Jesus wishes most is to give men, women, and children the authentic, abundant life as children of God. Jesus came that we might become God's children. As perfectly imperfect, beloved children of God, we are not described as God's children by our good or bad behavior, our upbringing, our interests, our marital status, sexuality, or past triumphs or failures. We are not described by our limitations or our hurts. Our destinies are not controlled by others, overpowered, or dominated by the circumstances find ourselves in. Rather, we are those individuals who know ourselves to be God's beloved children. We are defined by God calling us God's own sons and daughters, individuals who hold infinite worth in God's eyes, loved unconditionally, respected, and used by God to care for God's beloved creation. Not to pay some obscure penalty for sin, but rather to remind us and even convince us that God loves us more than anything we have ever encountered before. We are invited into God's eternal actions. Becoming children of God isn't an initiation into a club. It's being given the power to become childlike persons with the gift of true power, to be creative, authentic, life-giving, and joining with God's eternal work to redeem all of creation. We accept our birthright and choose to live an adventure of childlike faith. We choose to live life with of astonishment and terror, like the shepherds did in those other Christmas stories. We approach life with amazement and fear as if the angels were singing their glories to us in our own Christmas story. We live each day in risky curiosity, summoning the courage to ask those big questions, as Mary did at the Annunciation, in order to struggle to find the truth we so desperately seek. We act with wild abandon, like the Magi did as they followed the star with a daily fearlessness that takes us through the unclear, the frightening, and rugged terrain to a place of joy, peace, and abandon. We approach to kneel at the manger and each encounter in life with daring playfulness as an expression of hope filled with irony, metaphor, laughter, jest, enjoyment, and surprise. We are attentive with wide-eyed listening as we make time to be quiet each day, cherishing, appreciating, and relishing the silence and the words that come from that silence. We feel a deep, irresponsible passion, an energy that takes over and motivates us with ideas and actions that resemble irresistible extravagance, risk, and gratitude, all rolled into one. We notice our bodies acting without words as they are taken over by happy terror, a mix of wonder, awe, glee, fear, and worship all at the same time that leaves us excited and giddy. You can just imagine a little child feeling that way. We begin to look at life through the naive grace that Jesus brought to situations that is ridiculously inclusive, outside the lines, indiscriminate, impractical, unrealistic, looks foolish, and may be criticized or ridiculed. We approach all of life with this childlike faith Jesus calls his disciples to, that is simple, honest, direct, not limited by words, and perhaps expresses itself best by, again, imagine a little child, or who is that child, hopping, skipping, jumping, winking, squeezing, tearing, laughter, squeals, and even dancing. We have been given a share in his life, with his love. We are restored by the Christmas event. God is with us, Emmanuel. God choosing to put skin on, walk among us, and live in our neighborhood is a pivotal point in salvation history. The incarnation helps us grasp who we really are. In God we live and move and have our being. We have forgotten our divine nobility, the realm we were destined to from the very beginning. Beyond our sinfulness or missing the mark, we are God's. And by believing in God's name, we are able to trust God and live our lives as Christ lived his. The incarnation is an ongoing process of dying to self so that Christ can be born in us. You might say that this is the way Christians are reincarnated, dying to self so that Christ can be born in us. In Christ, we recognize our own humanity and status as God's beloved children, and we recognize the same in others as well. We are reunited and reconnected to God through Christ. What happens to you matters to me. You become significant, and together we have found favor with God, and we want to grow into God. The Savior of the world was one of us, human, and doesn't stand apart from us, but among us. The Word is compassionate, merciful, forgiving, called children of God. Do you believe this? Your very own Christmas story? Do you believe the differences that this birth makes, that John focuses on? Or do you need help in believing it with childlike faith and dangerous wonder? A place to begin is with this New Year's practice. At least once a day, look into the mirror and say, I am God's beloved child, loved, respected in my uniqueness, and God will use me to change the world. I'll say it again. I am God's beloved child, loved, respected in my uniqueness, and God will use me to change the world. This sounds simple enough, but it is hard to say and even harder to believe. So let's say it together once the words come back on the screen. Let's say, I am God's beloved child, loved, respected in my uniqueness, and God will use me to change the world. As you begin to say it, doubts will creep in. Those saboteur voices will surely question, you? But what about those times when you failed, forgot, made a mistake, or did harm to someone or something? These voices will surely grow louder as you look into that mirror. But do not give up. This is why John's unsentimental Christmas message is so important. Let us say it again. I am God's beloved child, loved, respected in my uniqueness, and God will use me to change the world. Jesus gives each one of us the power to become one of God's children and live that life with child.